And that's it?
All done, yes.
Thank you all. Appreciate all the work and all the feedback, and we'll do some consolidation. I think, Tim, at this time, we'll turn it back over to AKA to take us from here.
I think these report backs and discussions are nothing short of terrific. And I think a round of applause. There are obviously some mathematical difficulties here in terms of the ability of some people in the University of Illinois to count. But I do like the ingenuity with which some people actually got around to their arithmetic challenges. So let's, over the next, we've got maybe 25, maybe 30 minutes, sort of with all of these ideas on the table, begin to kind of think through what are some commonalities, what has impressed you with the really, really interesting ideas, and what is not here that, in fact, as you have thought about these report backs, you think are obvious gaps that the strategic planning process needs to take account of. So, and this is just this is an open discussion. So my role here is to keep the discussion going, stimulate it or prod it a little bit if it should falter. I think that's highly unlikely. And to just for us to kind of feel that as a group gathered today, that there is kind of collective ownership of this, I think, quite remarkable thinking, which is at a strategic level. So what are some of the commonalities here you think are the most interesting and the most important ones that for sure should meet the test of getting into the strategic plan? And board members as well as the rest of you.
It seems to me that certainly one of the most important is our assistance with K through 12 education. I have to say, I also think it's the most difficult, mainly because we have a lot of control over many of the other ideas. We have less control over how we get into K through 12 and really make a difference, particularly given the fact that so many of the problems are societal problems there. They're not necessarily academic problems. And I think it makes it very, very difficult. But if we don't help solve that problem, a lot of our goals will never be met.
Mm-hmm. Good point. And that of course, occurred in a whole host of the report.
Right. I think everyone.
So just a ground rule. For those of you who are in the audience, if you would just identify who you are and your campus, just so we can also kind of encourage recognition of everybody.
Sure. Good afternoon. My name is Alfred Tatum, Dean of the College of Education at UIC. I was pleasantly surprised to see the focus on K-12. And I don't think the pathway to the connection is as difficult as we might imagine. There are inroads. We have colleges, particularly UIUC and UIC, who are deeply entrenched in that. And I'm hoping that we really keep that on the table, because essentially that is the pipeline. And so that was a real surprise, because for a long time, it feels as if College of Education, particularly in large institutions, have been in the wilderness for a long time. So how do we make sure that we keep that at the forefront and bring K-12, pre-K through 16, out of the shadows? We can't forget pre-K for that. So let's keep it moving.
Okay. Great, thanks.
May I just add on the question of the societal problems and issues that undergird, you know, the lack of success in K-12 in many of our areas? I think we can't control the underlying problems, the economic problems, et cetera, but at least we can get a good handle on what kind of mitigating educational processes we can utilize to meet some of the problems that these people bring to the classroom. And we got to educate them now. We can't wait until society decides to wake up, because that might take another 400 years. We've got to figure out a way to get these kids educated now. and not later. And I think that we have the skills as educators to develop and to understand and to study the processes by which we can mitigate some of these problems that are intractable and educate these kids. You know, I worry every day about the fact that we don't have fathers in 70 to 90% of the homes of some African Americans in Chicago. And that's a major impediment to kids having role models and all the good things of life that all of us had the good fortune of having. And I think we can't abandon them on the notion that it is too hard. We got to figure it out.
Great. Yeah.
I would say two things. One is around our hospital system and our medical, the focus on that. I think we need to we really need to lay out what do we want to be, what role do we want to play in that, and you know, we're in a city with a number of phenomenal hospital systems, but I think we have a role, and you know, we're the only state-owned hospital that are here, and you know, I think what we're doing in Urbana now to complement that can really help be a stepping stone. But I think between the two campuses, we just need to set the bar high for the impact that we want to have, because it's going to be hard and it's going to take time. The second one is, and it came out in a variety of different ways, and those in the room that know me well know that I harp on this, but we really need to, I don't want to say reinvent, but raise the bar on our brand and our reputation, because we have so much good stuff that prospective students, our alums, and others, other constituencies, potential faculty, just are not aware of it. And every time, we had a couple examples in our room where, even on the Alumni Association, when I would come to UIC and, you know, the chancellor would go through all the incredible things happening, or somebody said they were at another meeting, or that, you know, you were somewhere, and everybody's like, wow. So we just really need to utilize what we have, and we need to form a really, we need to figure out how to get the Tribune off our back.
Yeah, I think you're right. Both of those points, one way or other, it seems to me, were each of the report backs, for sure. Comments over here about these two points? Gosh, okay. Oh, sorry.
Just a comment. We're talking about K through 12, and I'm sure we're talking about K through 12, but the new head of the State Board of Education is starting back at the third grade, and he says that studies have indicated that if a kid is not reading at grade level by third grade, then he really will possibly fail. So I think if that is true, then maybe we should look into that and see what kind of support we can give there.
Other commonalities you think are essential for inclusion in the strategic plan?
I think it was three groups had emphasized, it's Dick Simpson, University of Illinois at Chicago, civic engagement in two different ways. One, getting our students to have the skills and knowledge and abilities to be able to engage effectively as citizens, and even more importantly as political leaders. But the other sense of engagement in the community that's sometimes called social justice, where we are tackling the problems that Mr. Montgomery was talking about. A number of the groups suggested that we could tackle not only education and health, but poverty, inequality, and some of the other really major issues. So I thought that whatever strategic plan we came out with, the dual sense of civic engagement, one, preparing our students to transform the world as they graduate and even before, but secondly, to be engaged in solving the civic problems, which sometimes we're accused of being the ivory tower that isn't engaged with those problems.
Good. Let's talk a little bit about collaboration, which was in many of the report backs. And I guess I sort of heard a number of different aspects of collaboration. Everybody's for it. not quite so clear kind of what to do to engender that. At least the small group discussions that I floated around into were kind of struggling with what does that mean, and how to make, I think by extension, the university larger than the sum of the parts by really bringing together the multiple assets on the different campuses. So let's just talk a little bit about that. What perspectives do you have listening to these report outs and having been in the discussion groups reports?
I want to share something that I thought was a really good idea by one of the colleagues, is the trainings that we have that are mandated throughout our institutions. Why don't the administration and those that are participating within those trainings come together, and then it entices our faculty to work together a little bit more closely. And there's other efforts to have them come together, but I think that will be a good idea to implement. Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Mike Pagano, University of Illinois Chicago, Dean of the College of Urban Planning and Public Affairs. I'd like the concept of collaboration to go beyond, I think, what we saw up there and build into the area of engagement with communities. This is not just collaboration among faculty or among research centers or between the campuses, but it's with the broader communities and the professional associations and the places where we're trying to make a difference. This is the urban century. 85% of GDP in the United States is now generated in metropolitan areas. Chicago was mentioned in most of these places. This is where the engagement takes place, and I think that's part of what we mean by collaboration. Not just collaboration between researchers, but collaboration between communities.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Thanks.
Gene Robinson, director of the WOES Institute for Genomic Biology on the Urbana campus. With respect to collaboration, one issue I think that makes it a difficult topic to get our hands around is the issue of what exactly is the University of Illinois system? What does it aim to do that's distinctive from the campuses? The number three relative three campuses is a different number than we see in the other university systems across the country. Usually it's a bigger number. And so we had some discussion in our group about the number of entities that would make up a university system, an ideal number, and that leads then to questions about what the role of the university system is. And then with that information, we could then talk about what is it that we're trying to collaborate on. If it's a matter of research collaboration, as several groups noted, ours as well, one doesn't need incentives to seed collaboration because it's just known that faculty will crawl on their bellies in a blizzard to collaborate with whoever they think is going to increase their chances of improving a grant or synergizing a project. So I think that issue is something that really wasn't discussed too much, and I think should be addressed in this strategic planning session.
So you're raising another point, I gather, which is really what's the role, what's the identity of the university as a university, and what does, you know, should the university be larger in the sense of having more campuses, or should be, you kind of implied this, I think, should the university be reaching more of the citizens of Illinois, maybe not through actual campuses, but by electronic means. But just give us a couple more sentences, perhaps, from the discussion in your group about this whole question of the identity of the university as distinct from the identity of the campuses.
Well, one thing is symptomatic in the report outs. Campuses are referred to either as campuses or as universities. And so, you know, University of Illinois, in our group, several individuals from other campuses other than Urbana said that when one hears the words University of Illinois, the default is usually the Urbana campus,
sure.
But yet it's also the name of the system. Mm-hmm. By contrast, other systems somehow have branded themselves as a system, so the
right.
UC system is the name that is associated with that. So we talked about that. We also talked about some opportunities with respect to Peoria and Rockford as entities that are part of the what we call the University of Illinois, and could the activities there be expanded? And so then we're looking at several members of our group said three, so there's some dynamism there to that number, and that doesn't even address the larger number of community colleges, state colleges that are in the state, each developing agendas that are not coordinated, and so getting then to this question of what is it we're trying to collaborate on.
Got it. Other discussion about this particular issue?
Sarah Rush, College Medicine in Peoria. I think when I think of collaboration, I think about using the resources of the university to address the same problem from multiple angles. We've talked a lot about social problems that need to be addressed, educational problems, you know, and so if we have, you know, colleges of social work and medicine, you know, we have public policy, that the idea is you pick your strategy, what you're trying to change, and your collaboration is around bringing all of those diverse resources together to address a problem. So it's not a research project. It's actually a strategic goal that the university is going to tackle that's going to change the health of the citizens of Illinois through whatever process we put together.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Thanks. From the report outs, what surprised and what delighted you the most? What was unexpected? The room goes silent. So nothing surprised you? Well,
let me make a comment. So my name is Rashid Bashir. I'm from the Urbana campus, Department of Bioengineering. I'll kind of go back to the previous comment also.
Sure.
Just briefly and connect this. So I think I'd like to emphasize further the comments that were made by my colleague Gene Robinson about, I think there is, at the faculty level, and I think maybe even at the student level, there is this confusion, if I might say, or this, I think there's a question about the branding between the campus, the system, and the university, and I really think that needs to be sort of clarified. I think collaborations will happen if each campus is more autonomous in driving their future. Each campus should drive their future, define their strategic vision and planning, and I think collaborations will follow. I think we have actually lots of collaborations happening in specific areas. And like, you know, like Gene said very well, I think faculty will find ways to collaborate to advance the science, but there seems to be this sort of overlapping structures of administration that sometimes are not clarified. And I think for our system, the current system of three campuses, this just seems not, there seems to be some mismatch in that whole process. So somehow working through that and making that clarified and letting each campus drive their future and provide more autonomy to do what they want to do. And also I think that comes back to what was something I think delightful to see is that all the groups did talk about more autonomy from the state. So I think there was a very good reason why the speaker was, our special guest speaker was invited today by the president, is that I think we should be thinking about exactly that. How can 10 years from now we can be like Michigan? We can be somebody like that in terms of, we are already there, if not much better in terms of quality and impact, I think, but in terms of this administrative, financial, legislative autonomy. I think state is a big barrier. We know that. We need to figure out how can we work with the state to let us do what we want, but yet then it's our responsibility to go raise the money to be able to be less dependent on the state.
Got
so
it.
I think that really needs to be the major focus in the next 10 years.
Good point. Thanks.
Yeah.
Andreas Kingilaris. I'm Dean of Engineering on the Urbana-Champaign campus. I'm answering your latest question, what surprised me from the conversation. I think what was absent from the discussion was, what does the state of Illinois want to be? I heard from President Killeen his conviction that several universities are going to be the casualties of the change that is happening in this century in the way education serves the state and the nation. And he's convinced that the state institutions are going to thrive. I agree with him. I believe that places like Illinois are places where state institutions matter, and they're going to thrive. But we cannot thrive in a vacuum. I believe in conversations like this, especially when the state university is being asked to put together a strategic plan, we need to have a good understanding of what the state of Illinois wants to do. And I believe that that is something that we can partner with them in developing. I don't believe the state should be planning on its own. I think the state should be planning, thinking of what the education component of the university provides. How does that factor in its future?
Good, thank you.
One thing that surprised me was that in the entire reports that, we have seen, student-centered or student-focused initiatives were on the light side. There were a number of bold ideas there, but very few, disproportionately low. Most of the comments were structural, operational, societal, or research-oriented, but I would hope that the plan will have more student-focused, student-centered initiatives and suggestions.
If I may comment on something you just shared, during the conversation, one thing I kind of mentioned was trying to figure out the student services portion that we provide already. From the career development center to the counseling centers to all the various different services that we provide. How can we bring those entities together in a, more on the forefront that are already doing a great job in providing these services? How can they intertwine these services together to create a large emphasis to make a difference for the students themselves?
So a couple of things that delighted me, I don't know that they surprised me, but one of them was that it is no longer taboo here to say system.
Right.
In the past, that has been a big taboo in the room. So that's a bit of a delight for me.
Fair enough.
The second one is when I mentioned that it's a big, hairy, audacious goal that we should double the African-American population across, that nobody rolled their eyes and most people nodded their heads yes. And both of those things for me were a delight. And then the last thing is that one thing that was a little surprising is that we didn't talk about how to make the student experience better by allowing them to take a class anywhere they want. Mm. We still have that barrier, and it's a thing that I will continue to harp on.
Mm-hmm. Great. Others?
Yeah. I guess as long as we're on the subject of students, I was very pleased by Dr. Killeen's mention this morning of the possibility of trying to increase the enrollment of the entire university by 20,000 over the next 5 to 10 years. I'll call you and I'll raise you one. If we get 21,000, then our total would be 100,000. I got to thinking about it. It would be great for recruiting, hopefully with the minority issue that you brought up. It would be great PR with the citizens of the state of Illinois, many of whom complain about their kids not being able to be accepted to a University of Illinois campus. That in turn would be great PR with the legislature, who are concerned that their constituents are happy. Hopefully it would be a source of revenue, which would hopefully help control tuition costs. Also might help grow the faculty. You know, I guess we would have to look at, you know, infrastructure and where the rate limiting steps are, but I thought that was a fantastic idea you had. So I'll throw my 2 cents in there for a student related issue.
And just one other area that was touched on briefly, but we didn't really talk about it as a strength or as an opportunity, and that's our foundation. It was touched a little bit. I was listening in one meeting when the foundation was actually talked about, but I think that says a lot about maybe our unawareness, a lack of awareness of the foundation and what the foundation has done. But maybe more importantly, how important the foundation may be in our future, particularly if we are less and less affiliated with the state of Illinois. And so I appreciate our foundation leadership being here, and I just want to add that support to it.
Good thought. Any other last?
Yep.
I have just two more. One that's kind of surprised me, especially from me, in that I think Susan at the very end realized that what we didn't list as an asset is our athletics. So even if, you know, we have some teams that aren't doing well, but we still we have some that are doing phenomenal. And whether we like it or not, athletics attract students, and it attracts athletes that help us get more money so that we can have more programs, and it attracts alumni to give more donations.
For sure.
So I was a little bit surprised, like I said, even at myself, that I didn't raise that. And then the other one that I was completely not surprised at was how significant the emotion was about the bureaucracy and the difficulty to get things done and how long it takes, whether it's procurement, whether it's hiring, whether it's letting underperformers go. And all that time that's spent on that is time that we're not getting the right resources here or we're spending more money, so.
So the opportunity cost here is really huge. Yeah.
Good. And time.
And time, right. So let's shift gears. But let me say before I step down from the podium, what I was impressed with was the thoughtfulness of the discussions and the report outs. I was struck with the confidence, actually, of all of you in the future of the university. There are lots of universities that are really discouraged about their situations or discouraged about their prospects or worried a lot about money. But certainly a tonality for me that came through here was a real sense of opportunity, and the university is well positioned not to minimize a variety of matters, but a real sense that this planning process, in fact, can provide the platform for really transforming the university and moving it to a whole different level of achievement and accomplishment. And I think that is really one of the most important building blocks for a terrific strategic planning process. So thank you.